can read one. Where were you born, Mr. Bedlington?
A place called Pension Foundry, near Shining Road.
What's your date of birth?
8th of June, 1918.
What did your father do for a living?
Well, various jobs. He was a shipwright first, and then he ended up as a sawyer in a colliery.
What family did you have?
Oh, quite a large family. How many?
Yes.
Well, there was 14, actually.
And where were you in that line of 14?
Well, 13th.
You were 13th out of 14?
Out of 14.
So your parents must have been quite an age by the time you were born.
More or less, yes.
Did your father serve in the First World War?
No, he was too old for the First World War. And of course, reserved occupation. But apart from that, he was too old.
Did you have brothers that served in the war?
No, I was the only one.
And that was Second World War that you came in, of course, yeah. Did your mother have to work with such a large family?
No, she never worked. No, well, lads in the colliery.
What was the area like that you worked in?
Well,
that you lived in, sorry, not that you worked in.
That's
yeah.
Right. It was right near the colliery, just about 100 yards off the colliery. And of course, very noisy, working at night. And the only time you got a good night's sleep was when it was working. And when the colliery stopped, you woke up. So is anything else you want? No.
The people themselves, was a closely knit community?
Oh, yes, yes. The whole village, you could just ask, who lives at number so-and-so, and you knew.
So as a closely knit community, presumably neighbours were in and out of their houses? And
more or less. Yes, and it was a common sight. There was no pit head baths or anything like that. It was common sight to see men walking backward and forward black out of the mines, you know. And we used to carry our lamps for the miners coming out of the pit and things like that. So we knew them all.
And presumably you didn't have to lock doors or...
No. Well, there was always someone at home. The house was never empty.
Were there any accidents at the pit?
Oh, yes. There was a chap killed next door. When I was very young, I remember that. And he was killed. There were quite a few accidents. A schoolmate of mine had his arm torn off. And, I remember him going about. I was down the pit when it happened. And I remember him coming out, and It was like a roller belt, a rubber belt, that had these, what's called these conveyor belts, bringing the coal out, and he got his arm in and just got pulled out.
But your family escaped such unpleasantness, did they? There's no one hurt in your family?
Well, various accidents.
No. Nothing serious?
Well, I once had my hand fastened in a pulley wheel, but about 5 weeks that was healed up and wasn't all that much.
What work did your brothers and sisters have when they started work, of course?
Well, it was the mines. That's all it was, really.
You would get your free coal in those days, did you, for your fires?
Yes, that was what it was. No bother, and you had no electric light, just candles, and a big round oven by the fire. So we did all your baking and cooking was done on coal. And a big boiler by the side of the fire, because you had to have a big tin bath. For them, you were coming in the door hours for getting a bath from the pit.
I didn't ask you how many brothers and how many sisters you had in your family.
Well, I never met the first one. The second one died at 4-year-old at meningitis, and I knew the next oldest, and he was about 15 years older than me. And then there was two of the brothers, and one went to Australia before the war, so he was out of it. And the other two brothers, the oldest brother, you know, that I remember, and the next oldest brother, they worked at the mines. And he was worked on the telephones, the second youngest brother. And the first oldest one, he worked on the coal cutters. So really, awful job.
How many sisters did you have?
Well, I had a sister married in the First War. She was out of it. She lived away down in Essex. The second one, Nellie, she spent her early days working in the brickyard. It was hard work, women, you know. And then the next one, she was always away, Dolly. She was always away in situations. She was a cook.
Housekeeping kind of work.
She was a cook in the hospital nearly up the moor. And then the last one, well, she did a stint away, and then she got married, and so she was out of it, sort of thing. Well, she's still alive.
It must have been a pretty hard time for your mother and father to bring up a family that size.
Yes, well, as it was, the elder ones looked after the younger ones. They always got out on a Saturday night, you know. They didn't keep them in. And then apart from that, we had, he originated from Sunderland, and he had relatives from Sunderland used to come up and babysit. So,
was the family income sufficient to keep you reasonably secure?
Well, you had a lot of money. I mean, you had to wait for things and things like that, but they always managed to get you something for Christmas or your birthday or something like that.
Clothing, did it pass down through the family from older to younger?
Oh, yes, lot of things like that. Of course, I mean, they were a good bit older than me, the other brothers, so that there wasn't very much I got passed down. But I know when I was in the Scouts, I mean, you had to wait and practically you were working yourself before you could afford a uniform.
Yes, we'll come to the Scouts later because that's a part of the story. What kind of leisure activities did a youngster get up to in those days?
Well, the street lighting, no lighting in the houses, but street lighting, and we used to go, it was quite safe, there was no traffic on the road, and we used to play under the street lights at night, and save them in the summer, just play out in this local bit of ground, and through the colliery, there was plenty of fields, so summer nights, we'd just go out and play in the fields. It was quite safe. There was no crime or anything like that. There was nothing to steal anyway. And your door was open all the time. So, now let's see, what else do you want to know?
What did the church or chapel play a part in your family life?
Well, we as children, we used to go to the Sunday school. But very rarely went to the church. You know, it was quite a way off.
Where did you start school?
Well, that was a local school. It was a place called New Lambton. And it was the colliery there, a brickyard there, and a coke works at the top. So the air was polluted most of the time, you know. And when you put washing out, it depended which way the wind was blowing, and, you know. You're washing with as bad coming in as it was going out. And it was a heavy washing day, it was a heavy day all day with the old postoves. See, and probably two or three women together with postoves, you know.
And there was a traditional washing day, was there not?
More or less, yes. There was heavy, heavy days, grunting and boiling a big pan and in a pot stove. And then sometimes we would get in for a bath in the pot stove at night. And you, it was just like getting bathed in soap.
Family food. Did your father have an allotment or a garden?
Oh, he had a garden. He had a good garden. And he potatoes and celery and quite a lot of things. So we were all right that way.
And your mother presumably did all the cooking and the baking?
All the cooking, yes. All our home baking, bread was always home baked. And of course the co-op, the local co-op, in those days used to come out, take your order, and then deliver the stuff. So, you know, it was a long way to the co-op, but you didn't have to, just go up and put your order in and that was it. You didn't have to carry anything heavier or anything like that. They delivered it all.
We've mentioned school there, and you said it was at New Lambton. What are your memories of school life?
Well, the schoolmaster called him Lambton, and he was a distant relative of Earl of Durham, Charles Lambton. And he served in the First War as Sergeant Major. And he was very forward-thinking. He was one of the pioneers of wireless. And he had wireless loudspeakers in the classrooms in the 20s. That was very early, you know, but nobody had wireless in the homes. The earliest wireless I remember was a chap, and he was a really crippled chap, you know. He was born, misformed, and he used to just sit in his chair with this crystal set. That's the first time we heard Big Ben, you know, on the trip, just the Big Ben. And his aerial ran right under the top of the slag heap, the pit heaps, you know, the big spoil heaps those days, all round. Out the colliery, they just used to bring the rubbish up out the mines and just tip it over these heaps.
How did you get on at school from an educational point of view? Was it a good education you got at school?
Yes, I would think so. I think it was a good education. But it was a different sort of system to it today. I mean, you were held back if you were poor. So some of them would end up in what would say about halfway through their school. In education-wise, see, in their school progress, they didn't progress onto the last class, see. And then in, up to the 11 plus, that was all right. And then we had to move to another school. There was a change in the education system.
Where did you move to?
Fence houses. It wasn't so good. I didn't like it at all.
What was the problem there that made you dislike it?
Well, I suppose it wasn't so. You're mixed with other people from mile away, you know, places like that, and you didn't like it as much.
What was your favourite subject?
Well, art and history. Let's say geography. Maths, I wasn't very good at. But I used to do all right.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a favourite teacher that you can still remember today?
Oh, quite a few. The art teacher was a woman. She was later a guide mistress. She was very popular. Science teacher wasn't. He had a big stick. And you got it for the least provocation, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about school discipline or what it was like. Mm-hmm. Was it quite severe?
Yes. No talking unless you were spoken to. With silence, you know. And any misdemeanor or late, the cane. Late for school, you're lined up and got the cane or any misdemeanor. Luckily, I didn't get it very much.
Were you introduced to sport at school?
Not very much, no. All the sport we got was just playing in the schoolyard. I remember at the age of about 7, I broke my leg in the schoolyard. Now, my mother had an insurance out with a local paper that paid you out for an accident. We couldn't get anything because you had to be playing a recognised game of sport. Well, we're playing in a recognised playing field in the school yard, but we weren't playing football or anything like that, so we didn't get anything. And I remember I sat with my broken leg, and there was no sort of first aid or anything like that, waiting till lunchtime for two lads to carry me about a mile and a half on the backs with a broken leg. And then, of course, when I got home, the Connery ambulance man, that was one good thing about it being the Connery district. You had the use of the Connery ambulance, and the Connery ambulance man was out to you, you know, to do anything like that. And he got me sent off to hospital in the Connery ambulance. And, of course, in those days, it was 6 weeks' job. There was no pad on the bottom of your foot. You just laid there for 6 weeks. Well, by that time, it was impossible to walk. You had to learn to walk again. See? Of course, I was spoiled lying in the front room on a couch, you know. And I was like the favourite. Everybody coming in to see me in the Congress. These big plaster up my neck. And that's when I was first introduced to the pipe. That was in 1925. I still smoke the pipe today, so that's about 74 years ago. And that's when I first read lots of books. And I first read about the Scouts. And they started the local troop of Scouts at the school with the headmaster. He was the first Scoutmaster. And with him being a relative of Lord Lambton, we had the run of Lambton Park, which was a good thing, you know, to go camping there and on a Tuesday night go and have a few exercises and boil a billy up. So it was pretty good in that respect. And we had the winter nights, we had the Scouts in the school. See? Of course, all that changed when you were 11 year old. We went to this other school and all dropped out.
So you stopped with the Scouts, you ceased being a Scout at 11?
No.
You moved on?
No. I joined another troop from the other school, you see. I've more or less been associated with the Scouts till I was 72. I was Scout leader, local Scout leader here in the Sea Scouts. And I even met Polish Scouts abroad. You know, things like that. I've been more or less associated with it.
You're saying that the uniform you for the Scouts, you had to buy your own uniform, obviously, and that took time.
That took time. We used to pay a penny a week for the uniform, and your neckerchief was 5 weeks. It was 5 pence for your neckerchief. Your Scout belt was one of threepence. Well, it took quite a while to get your Scout belt, things like that. Your shirt, you could never afford it. It was 6 and 6. You couldn't afford it. It was beyond your life. See, I never had a proper Scout shirt till I was working. And then, of course, you bought your uniform, and you got a bike and things like that, and things were much better for you.
How many nights in a week did you go to Scouts?
Well, in the summer, it was a weekend camp, local of course, and I think about 2 nights a week get up, and we would go out. In the winter time, it was in the school. But I started in the Wolf Coats first. Now, it's finished with the Wolf Coats. But that was, they still had the Cub Scouts. But that was Akiva, you know, the old wolf sitting on a rock. And you have to go sit round, sort of thing. You know that sort of thing, don't you?
How old were you when you joined the Wolf Scouts?
About 10 years old, see. And then, of course, I just moved into the Scouts when they changed school.
What kind of activities did you get up to in the Scouts?
Well, camping in the summer. And then we had the trek cart. We used to go away with the trek cart, pile your stuff up, walk away and camp. This is all in the summer. Winter nights, well, it was more or less games in the Scout Hall and things like that. All sorts of Scout games, like Kim's Game and various things.
Was there any drill that you learned to do?
Not really, no.
It wasn't militaristic in the, that sense?
Not militaristic at all.
But there would be a discipline situation.
Oh, yes, there was discipline. I mean, you have your patrol leaders, Scout Master, your assistant Scout Master, and then probably about 4 patrols. And then it was pretty disciplined in that respect. It was self-discipline.
And you had no problem with that, the discipline
no
that went on?
No, we had a life. It was a pretty good life, really, being in the Scouts.
At what age did you leave school?
14.
And were you able to get a job straight away?
No, it was only the colliery, and I didn't want that. I had various little jobs, you know, paper delivering, and I had one job working with a small bakery trolley with 4 wheels on. I used to push it round the streets in Chesley Street, up them long banks and down the way. And you only got a commission on what you sold. You couldn't make a living that.
And this was in the very early stages of being old enough to work.
Yeah.
What was the first, what you might call major job that you got?
Well, it was at the colliery, really.
Oh, you decided you'd have to go to the colliery, did you?
More or less. They started a class, Safety in the Mines. And we went to this class, and the colliery under manager ran it. And you were supposed to get, I think you paid a shilling to join this class. And you were supposed to get your shilling back, and a badge at the end of it, you see. Of course, the first class did, but we didn't. Not for the second one. And then, of course, you worked on the screens. That's what you used to call on the surface, where the coal used to come down the belts and you were picking the stone off.
How old were you then?
Well, about, I was actually 16. They kept me out of the colliery as far as they could.
And this job, this screen job of taking the stone from the coal was your first job?
More or less, yes.
How much would you get a week for that?
Shillings, not a pound.
How many hours did you work?
Eight and a half.
And was that 5 or 6 days?
Oh, let's see. Well, it was often just the 5 days.
Saturday morning, would you work on a Saturday morning at that time?
Sometimes, but not always. It was more often than not. Where the boilers were, they had what they called a buzzer. And it used to sound off, and they'd say, well, the colliery's laid off for the weekend. So anybody round about could hear, you know, with this loud buzzer. And more often than not, it was laid off on the weekend.
Where did you move to next when they moved you from the screens?
Well, I went down to the shop bottom. They didn't give us a lamp. Well, it was all lit up at the shop bottom, all whitewashed, and like a big round brick. and they put me on the telephone. And they had a telephone down there, and the telephone all over the colliery. And you had to answer the phone to everybody, and things like that. And from there, I was sent what to call in by, and I got my hand caught in this, and my father died the same week, and then I had 4 days off, and then they pushed me on with a severe, but I always hated working in the pits. So with the local severe, of course, it was an interesting job, but it was always night time. You should go down at 5 o'clock at night, and on a summer night, you know, I know the people were going out, and you have to go down there. And what we were doing was keeping the places mapped up. As the moon forward, you would sight in with the compass or the theodolite, and then they had to call the long wall faces in those days. And it was about as high as under this table. The core was only about that high.
About 18 inches, that well, kind of height.
That's the tallest. Below that was sometimes 12 inches. And you had to go right up about 40 yards up this place. Because you had to go in at night when the work was finished. And you had to paint a whitewash line from one end to the other. And you would tie a line up and have your lamp hanging underneath and paint the shadow on this, and you were lying on your back like this, you know, painting this line, and you had to do all them faces, you know, and that was, they had to be done every night. They moved the face forward, so they measured off your line that you did, so you had to be accurate, because you would sight up the book first, from where they took the stonework up, and it was, the height was in what they called the mother gate, and at either end there was a small channel that they called the tail gate, see, and it was where, like the air, where the air circulated, round and down and out the tail gate, and it was awful work, like, you know.
Was it a wet pit, wet colliery?
No, not really, not completely wet. And there weren't all no seams. I mean, you went down, you got the 5/4 seam. Now, it had been worked out, more or less. And it was a very hard stone, what's called poor stone roof. And it was very solid. And then you got down to what they called the main core seam. Now, that was a seam that was probably worked mostly, generally, all round. And it was round about 4 foot to 5 foot high. So you could, even working it in that sort of thing. And then, of course, lower down, the lower you went, the tighter the seams got with the pressure, and the harder the core. And the more dangerous working in very low seams and things like that. And on the working with the severe, I saw some interesting things, like, you know, we once went in a working that had been left from the days of George III, about 200 and more. And it must have been down Lambton Park somewhere, and they'd hold into it. They used to do this, they used to hold into places by having what they called the borers, and they used to bore ahead, because, I mean, you could bore into water or gas or anything like that, and they used to bore ahead, and if they hit water, of course, they would plug it. The one was in water ahead sort of thing. So they drilled into this old mine, and there was no timber in it. It was just hard solid. And you, I don't know if you know about coal seams, but they run north and south, almost magnetically, north and south. So when these workings were done, it was sheer, straight walls. And with the length of time that stood, they were just like a peacock's colours, rainbow colours, like, in the height of this. And every so often, there was just two workings, and they were about as, well, about as far as that to the window, apart. And they knock a little place through and put a wooden door in, because there was only one shaft, and this shaft was split in the middle, wood balls down the middle. So you had your air sucked down one with a coal fire at the top. This, I'm talking about George III's time, you know.